When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenue, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor, remember there's just one request I make of you. Look for me, for I will be there too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two. Look for me, for I will be there too. As you go down your list of first, there's no question. You'll want to see your loved ones waiting there for you. And when you feel you've shared your story with the last one that wants to hear you tell just how you made it through, look for me, I'd like to hear it too. I realize when you arrive, there'll be so much to view. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, look for me, for I will be there too. After you've been there 10,000 years, a million, maybe two, look for me, for I will be there too.
This is a new lapel. I pressed the button. Now? Now? Turn it on. I did. Is it on now? This is new.
I tried to ask beforehand. Okay. Yes. Testing. Thank you, Brother Todd, for that special. And because of Jesus Christ, we can say that we'll be there too. Amen. And I want you, if you would, really pray for my, he's my uncle-in-law. It's my wife's uncle, Roy, and his wife, Lori. If you would, even as we preach, and I know you'll be listening, I wish you'd whisper a prayer for them. She's in surgery right now. And we just got news this morning that we're going to have another baby. And so Miss Christie and we had a scare this afternoon and went to the doctor and had sonograms and all that stuff. And so we've kind of had this peak and then went down the valley and then peaked again because everything's okay. And then hearing about Roy, it's back down again. But we want you to pray for Roy and his dear wife, if you would, and pray for my father-in-law, Sam, who's the oldest. That's his youngest brother. So you pray for them if you would, and rejoice with us, and pray for us that we'll have a healthy pregnancy, and my wife will deliver a healthy baby in our family. We thank you for your prayers, and some of you hadn't quit praying for babies for us. We thought we were through, and you guys just keep praying, but we thank God If you'll turn to Exodus chapter 8, I need to turn this down a little bit or move it up or down or what. I'm popping. Is that good? I need to move it up. Move it up. Okay. Exodus chapter 8, we're going to begin reading in verse number 20. If you'll stand as we read God's Word together. Beginning in verse number 20, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water." Now the reason he's going to the water is because he worships the water, the Nile River. "And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen," that's where the children of Israel were, "in which my people dwell, that no swarm of flies shall be there. To the end, thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth, and I will put a division between my people and thy people." You know God wants to do that? God wants there to be a division between His people and the devil's people. He says, "I want a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house. You know when God says something, it happens. You ever notice that as you read the Bible? When God says something's going to happen, it happens. "And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and into all the land of Egypt. And the land was corrupted by reason of the swarms of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" He says, listen, if we do it in the land, they're going to see it and they're going to get upset and stone us. "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and as he shall command us." They're doing what God told them to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight. And Lord, we come to you with a special prayer request on behalf of Roy and Lori and Lord, that little one. We ask God that you'd be with her. I pray that God, you would give them a healthy baby. Lord, the doctors don't give them a lot of hope. But Lord, we know that they're your children. And I know Roy, God, he serves you and loves you with all his heart. God, I pray that you'd be with him, and I pray that you'd give him a healthy baby. I pray you confound the doctors, and God, give him a healthy baby, and keep Lori safe, please. And God, we ask that you'd be with the message tonight. We ask, God, that it would be a blessing, that, Lord, your word would go forth. I pray it would be received well, and God, that hearts would be touched and lives would be changed. We thank you for our preacher, and Lord, I pray that you'd give them a wonderful time as they're relaxing and taking some time off. Be with he and Mrs. Smith and bless their time together. And Lord, be with us now. Meet with us, Lord. If you're not here, Lord, it's all going to be in vain. And Lord, we just ask you to show up. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the children of Israel came out of Egypt during the famine. And by the providence of God, they were taken care of by their cast-off brother, Joseph, who is the biggest type of Christ in the Old Testament. You take the story of Joseph and how that all played out, where his brothers put him in the pit, and how he went from a slave to the second in Pharaoh's kingdom, and took care of the children of Israel during a great famine, and they were taken care of there in Egypt in the land of Goshen, and over time Israel grew, and God was producing a nation out of that little family, which wasn't a very little family, but was producing a nation. And over years, they had grown. And then there was a king, there was a Pharaoh that was raised up that knew not Joseph, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, that he knew not Joseph. And he didn't look at the children of Israel the same way that the previous king did, because he knew Joseph. And Israel had the blessings of Pharaoh because of Joseph. Hey, listen, we have the blessings of God, and we have the blessings of God because of Jesus Christ. And listen, America, as long as it recognizes Jesus Christ, we've got a chance. But here's what's happening in America today. We've got leadership that knows not Jesus Christ. And listen, they now, Israel is now becoming slaves. He put them under bondage. And then he legalized partial birth abortion for all male Hebrew children. And as they were being delivered, they were to be murdered. They were to be killed. Because he did not want Israel to grow. But through the providence of God, they grew even through their affliction. And they became a great nation. And the reason they did is because God said they would. You say, what happened? Was it fate? No, it was God's word. At work, when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. When God told Abraham that, listen, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, he's doing it right here in the book of Exodus. Even in the midst of trouble, he's doing that. What we're seeing is the birth pains of a nation, the nation of Israel. And so the king that knew not Joseph, he made them slaves and tried to abort the male children there. Now, the children of Israel cried out to God, and the Lord sent them Moses to lead them out. And we're reading right kind of in the middle of this story that's going on. And most Christians and those who read the Bible are familiar with it, know the story of Moses and Pharaoh. They know about the 10 plagues that it took to break Pharaoh's will to finally let the children of Israel go and worship God in the wilderness. We know the 10 plagues, the water that turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, the flies, which we just read about, the diseased cattle, the boils, the hail mixed with fire. I'm breaking up a little bit. Locusts, 3 days of darkness, and then the death. Finally, the nail in Pharaoh's coffin was the death of the firstborn and the institution of the Passover. Now, in this account, we see three important types that will help us make application to our message tonight. And I want you to see these, and if you want to write them in your Bible, because you know what, as you study your Bible, these types are very important if you want to make practical application to the Old Testament. First of all, Egypt is always a type of what? The world. Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of Satan, especially the one that knew not Joseph. The devil is called the god of this world. Pharaoh was worshipped as a god. A lot of the heathen kings were worshipped as gods. So Pharaoh becomes a type of Satan. And the children of Israel are God's people, a child of God. Now God wants his people out of Egypt. Amen. Doesn't he? God wants his people out of Egypt. And today God wants his people out of the world. He wants them away from its power and its influence, and he wants us to separate from the world. But see, Satan, like Pharaoh, doesn't want us to go. See, after I got saved, see, before I was saved, and before you were saved, if you didn't realize it, you were a child of the devil. If we die without Jesus Christ, without the new birth, without regeneration, you and I are going to go to a devil's hell. In fact, Jesus said of the Pharisees who were lost, he said, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you shall do." And listen, before I was saved, my father was the devil, and the lusts of my father, I was doing those things, and so were you. But thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for our Creator who loved us and sent His Son to die and be a propitiation for our sins. But see, Satan doesn't want to let us go. Now see, he has a plan, but because we have the Scripture, because we are the children of God, we have the Bible, we're the children of the light, we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of how the devil works. We're not blinded to what he's up to. And in the Scripture, we can see that. Now, Satan can't destroy my soul. I'm saved eternally. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I can't be unborn. I can't be unsaved. I can't unhave eternal life when I have eternal life. I don't know why people think that, but they do. But that's the devil blinding their minds. And but listen, we can't. But the devil, what he wants to do is he wants to destroy our lives so we cannot be a testimony for others. Listen, Satan wanted Israel, the nation of Israel, destroyed because the nation of Israel is going to produce the Messiah, who is going to be the Savior of the world. You know where Jesus came from? This is, I mean, just a little Bible study tonight. If you're a young Christian, hey, Jesus was a Jew. I know sometimes when you walk into people's houses, he looks kind of Mexican, looks kind of African, looks kind of European when you see him in pictures. But you know what he was? He was a Jew. He was of the tribe of Judah, of the 12 tribes. So he was a Jew. And listen, Satan wanted to destroy that little nation, and Satan still does want to destroy that nation. It's a despised nation. Why? Because it produced the Savior. But you know what? He wants to destroy us as Christians, and the way he does it is he gets us to compromise. You say, what do you mean? Well, it's kind of like the bully at school. What he does is he tells you and influences you and gets to communicating with you and says, hey, won't you go do that? You'll be cool. And as soon as you go do that, you get caught and the teacher, you know, you get disciplined. You get chastened. You get in trouble. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He can't get us. So what he wants us to do is to compromise God's word, where we are now on the outs with God and under the chastening hand of God. Now, I don't have time, but you know what that's called in the Bible? It's called the doctrine of Balaam. That's exactly what Balaam did. And we don't have time to get into that, but you can look that up and study that on your own time. But that's exactly what that is. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do with us. Now, I want you to look at verse 25 of chapter 8. Here's our first compromise that Satan wants us to do as God's people. Look at the verse number 25. And Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, go ye and sacrifice to your God. That looks pretty good right there. Now look what he says. Three words. In the land. Hey, God said, get out. God said, don't want you in Egypt. Here's what Pharaoh says. Now, you'll just read right past that if you're just reading your Bible. But listen, here's what he's doing. He's saying, listen, the screws are put to me. I hate what's going on. And listen, you go worship God, but listen, do it in the land. Hey, worship God, but stay in the world. That's exactly what the devil wants. Hey, listen, hey, you're saved now. You're a child of God. Hey, you can worship God, but listen, just don't do it in a separated, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. Hey, do it in the world. Do it in the world. Worship God. Do it right here. Don't leave. Stay in the world. Worship God, but hey, keep your worldly music. Hey, worship God, but keep your worldly hairstyles. Hey, worship God, but keep your worldly clothing and your jewelry and your piercings and all of those things that you learned in Egypt now all these hundreds of years. Hey, listen, that's the pressure that's out there. I know when you mention Satan, it's kind of like a joke. You know, when you say, hey, the devil, and you mention his name, people kind of laugh like you're weird. You know, he's not really real. See, he's kind of the negative force there that nobody wants to talk about. We'll talk about heaven. We'll talk about Jesus. When you start talking about the devil working in situations, you're called a conspiracy theorist. I guess I am. Because you know what? There is a conspiracy going on spiritually in this world, and there is a force behind it, and his name is Satan. And the Bible talks about him as a real person. He's a real person. And here's what he's seen here in Pharaoh, in these compromises that Pharaoh wants Moses and the children of Israel to do. He said, listen, worship God and stay in the world. Hey, worship God. And hey, live the world's lifestyle. Live immoral. Hey, keep the worldly images. And folks, that's what's happening today in our churches. We're becoming more worldly and more worldly by the day. Every generation, it seems, you know, it's getting worldlier and worldlier and worldlier. Hey, we don't want to separate. We want to blend in. Hey, we want to look, teenagers want to look like the kids at the mall. Hey, they want to wear the jewelry. They want to have the piercings. They want to wear the bracelets and the t-shirts and all the fads of the world. See, just call yourself a Christian, but don't act like one. You ever seen people like that? Have you ever acted like that? I think we all have at one time in our life. Hey, just call yourself a Christian, but don't act like it. Have God in your heart, but not in your actions. Just compromise, because you don't want people to be uncomfortable. You don't want the world to be uncomfortable. You want to blend in, because if you don't blend in, then you know what? Here's what Moses said. They'll stone us if we stay here. And that's exactly right. You stay in the world, you know what's eventually going to happen? They're going to kill you. They're going to destroy you. You know where my life is? My life is outside of the world. I've got to get separated from the world, or I'm going to die. Because you know what? I'm going to offend them. Because they're not of God. Now, be contemporary so you can reach more people. See, that's worship God, but stay in the world. Hey, let's be contemporary so we can reach more people. But God tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore, come out from among them and be you what? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. As Christians or God's people, we have a direct command to separate. Hey, get out. Get out. We're to get out. Anything else is disobedience. And I don't care if you're called to preach, don't care if you're called to mission field, don't care if you're called to full-time Christian, doesn't matter. Hey, Israel was called to separate. Didn't matter if you were called to preach or whether you were a lay person. Hey, you were to get out. You were to skedaddle. Get out of the world. But the devil wants us to worship God, but hey, worship God, but do it in the land. See, the devil doesn't mind you worshiping God if it's only with your lips and not with your life. And that's where most Christians are today. We worship God with our lips and not with our lives. Hey, we say one thing. You know what? Why do people say they don't want to come to church? Because they say there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, that's true. But it doesn't have to be so, because the Bible commands us to live blameless. And if you're going to live a blameless life before men, you're going to have to separate. If you're going to influence a lost world, and I'm going to influence a lost world, and Trinity Baptist Church is going to influence a lost world, we're going to have to separate. Amen. But here's what Satan says. He whispers in our ears, that, hey, it's a wonderful thing. Hey, worship God, but just do it in the land. Just stay in the world. Stay in Egypt. Stay where you can, where you don't have to give up all the comforts of what you've made home now. Hey, listen, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Hey, when God saved us, we became pilgrims and sojourners in this land. And just like the children of Israel. His first compromise is this: worship God, but stay in the world. Number two, Exodus, look just down just a couple of verses, verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not, look what it says there, not go what? Very far away. Hey, just don't go very far. Just don't wander off too far. Hey, we'll let you go outside the city limits, but you know what? Stay close. If ye shall not go far away, and then he says this, not only that, go far away, but entreat for me. Entreat for me. Hey, let's stay in touch through TV, through cable, through internet. Let's stay through magazines and through advertisements and radio. Hey, let's just stay close. See, some of that godless stuff that we're supposed to give up, all it does is it just keeps us close to the world. Just keeps us where the devil can reach out and touch us, where he can communicate with us and influence us. And listen, folks, it's working. Wake up. Wake up. It's influencing. The membership of Trinity Baptist Church. Because you know what? There's a principle that God wants. God said, get out. God said, get out. But the devil, here's his compromise. He said, listen, don't be so radical. Worship God, but hey, stay in the world. Listen, now, if you can't stay in the world, hey, just don't go too far away. Let's be friends. Hey, why don't you pray for me? That's what Pharaoh said. He said, hey, just pray for me. Hey, as a friend, entreat me. When's the last time you prayed for the devil? I don't remember. Have you ever prayed for the devil? I haven't. But you know what? He wants to be your friend. Hey, pray for me. I can't quite see what's going on. Hey, the devil knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where he's going, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't need your prayers. He doesn't need your friendship. Hey, the world knows where it's going and knows its problem. And listen, it doesn't need to be a friend. The Bible says we're not to be a friend of the world. He said, hey, let's be friends. Let's be neighbors. Hey, just pray for me. Stay close enough where you can come visit. Keep a few things around to remember us by. Hey, just keep a little bit of music. Hey, you don't have to. Just keep it close. I remember a young man in a church we were previously at. He was a deacon's son. He got right at camp about his music. And you know what? He was getting ready to throw it all away. I mean, throw it away. Hundreds of dollars of music. Some of you are going, yeah, hundreds of dollars worth of music. Now, I don't think there were CDs back then. This was a while back. But tapes and different things. And some of you right now have a bunch of worldly music in your possession. Some of you may still be listening to it, still haven't put it in. Hey, it's one thing when it comes across the radio, you see it here in the airwaves, but it's one thing to buy it, purchase it, put it in, and enjoy it. But you know what? You know what his dad said to him? I mean, listen, he got right. He said, listen, I'm getting rid of this stuff, had it boxed up and ready to go. Here's what his dad said. Don't be so radical. Just put it in the closet. It costs a lot of money. He said that was his dad. Yeah, that was his dad who loved him and everything, but you know what? It was Satan whispering too. Hey, just don't go too far. Don't be too radical with this stuff. Don't give it up. I remember Robert Graff getting right with God about his music, and you know what? He threw it all away. Got rid of every bit of it. I mean, trashed it all. And it made a difference. See, one stayed close and the other took off. You know where God wants us? Take off. Hey, when it comes to this world and the influences and the power in this world, God wants us to take off. He doesn't want us running close with the world, with Egypt. You see what I'm saying? The Bible says in James 4:4, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, listen, is an enemy of God. Now that's God's word. God said, listen, if you want to be a friend of the world, hey, if you want to listen to their music, if you want to dress like them, then you know what? You're my enemy. You're my enemy. I've told my son, I said, listen, if you want to live the way you want to live, you and I are not going to get along. Hey, listen, you know what? If my wife doesn't want to live for God, we're not going to get along. Hey, listen, if she wants to live for God and I don't want to, hey, we're not going to get along. And listen, if we're going to live in the world, we're not going to get along with God. But see, some of you have convinced yourselves, listen, that you know what? I can stay close and it'll be all right. When God says, get out of the way. When God says, leave it alone. See, don't be fanatical. Stay close. Just live on the edge of temptation. Straddle the fence. See, because you know what? You don't look as fanatical. You don't look as radical. You don't look as... See, the world's going to paint us as a bunch of fanatics anyway. Now listen, I know I'm not a fanatic as far as crazy because I'm doing what God says to do. Well, you say that's what all the crazy people say too. But yeah, but listen, they don't got God's word to back it up. And listen, the press doesn't show you God's word when they show these religious fanatics that do all this crazy stuff and say they did it in the name of Jesus. That's what they want to do. They want to make us look like kooks. So therefore what we do is we say, well, we better stay close to the world because you know what? They'll think we're crazy too. Hey, listen, we're going to have to separate. We're going to have to get away from it. See, in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, there are steps to death. And the first step is called temptation. We're drawn away of our own lust. And then the Bible says we're enticed. You say, what's that? That's an invitation. You say, what's separation all about? Separation is staying far enough away where you're not tempted. Or if you know something's going to tempt you and it's going to invite you, and the next step is sin. What's that? That's disobeying God. That's breaking God's commandment. And then the next step is death. Those are the steps to death. And you know where it starts? It starts with temptation. You remember the model prayer? Lead us not into what? Hey, that ought to be a prayer. See, God's not, well, God, don't lead me into sin. No, don't lead me into temptation. Hey, keep me far away from it. And let me say something here, parents. Hey, you may be able to walk close to the fence and get by with it because of your character, but your children can't. Hey, you may be able to stay a little closer to the edge than they will, but you know what? And get away with it, but they won't. They'll walk closer. Hey, listen, if I walk close to the street, you know where my son's going to be? He's going to be in the street. I'm constantly trying to pull him out. Hey, get out of the street. Get out of the street. Well, then you know what you got to do? You got to move away from the street. Hey, listen, if your kids are being influenced by world, get them away from the worldly music. Get them away from those influences. Where do those influences come from? TV, internet. I was at the mall the other day. I wouldn't let my son walk through the mall for 10 minutes. I went to get my mother a gift, and I thought, dear Lord, it's just a big babysitting place for teenagers. And it's just, and listen, the stuff that they can see and the advertisements, it's the world. You say, why do you like to go to the mall? It's the world. Now, I know you got to go shop there. I know there's certain stores there. But listen, I'll tell you what, as a red-blooded man, you just walk in, get what you need to get, and get out. See, the second compromise is this. Here's what Satan is going to say to us. Go worship God, but stay close. Hey, if you're going to be a Christian, just stay close. Just stay where we can communicate. Hey, let's be neighbors. Let's pray for one another. Let's be friendly to one another. And listen, that's how he gets us. You get friendly with the world, guess what? God separates from us. And then you start blaming God that all these bad things are happening because you're under the chastening hand of God because we live in the world, amen, and wonder why. But listen, this is what's going on. It's Satan. It's Satan. And we see him working here in Pharaoh. Number three, look at Exodus chapter 10. He goes through it again, and look at Exodus chapter 10. If you've got a Scofield Bible, you'll see these things plainly outlined. But you got to make the type. And so Exodus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11, and for the sake of time, you can read that, but here's basically what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you can go and worship God, but leave your family. He said, you as men, hey, you guys go off, you sacrifice to your God, but listen, leave your little ones here. He said, listen, I'll let you go. He said, I'll let you take your little ones. You go ahead. And then he goes, not so. Go ye that are men and serve the Lord. Verse number 11. Don't take your families out in the wilderness. Just leave them here. We'll take care of them. Hey, we'll see that they're taken care of. Not a problem. You guys go out, you worship the Lord. And listen, hey, serving God is you don't want to subject your family to all that. Listen, you're going out in the wilderness, Moses. You don't want to subject your little ones out there. You don't know what's out there. Hey, God knows what's out there. Amen. Hey, Brother Leslie, does God know what's out there? He knows what's out there. Hey, does God know how to take care of you in the wilderness? He sure does. God, listen, you know who's out in the wilderness? God's out in the wilderness. Amen. Hey, that's all you need. You need the Lord. And listen, if you do what God says to do, but he says, listen, just don't take your families with you. Just leave your little ones here. Listen, it's tough out there in the wilderness. Don't make yourself, hey, the rigors of the ministry, and you don't want to drag your family through that. Hey, just leave them. Hey, don't make them go to church every night. And every time the door's open, hey, they'll get tired. Has anybody ever said that? I've heard it. I've even thought it. But you know what? That's exactly what's saying here. Hey, listen, you just go serve God. Hey, you got the energy. Let your family stay at home and rest. Leave them at home. Hey, don't make them dress different. They'll get laughed at. Hey, don't make them read the Bible. They'll become narrow-minded. Hey, don't make them stay in the nursery because you know what? They're crying. What is that? That's saying, listen, we're going to you serve God, but hey, leave your family. Hey, don't get them involved in church. Hey, don't get them involved in this fanatical ideas that you have of going out in the wilderness and serving God. Hey, don't make them stay in the nursery. Those poor little things are crying. And hey, don't make them go soul winning because you know what? Somebody will slam a door in their face. Hey, somebody will say unkind words to them. They'll be persecuted. Amen. Hey, those thoughts come into our mind. Where do they come from? The devil. The devil. Hey, don't make them attend a Christian school. There's not a big sports program. There's no band. There's no drill team. And hey, listen, they don't have degreed teachers and blah, 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 blah. But let me tell you something. God's in the wilderness. hey, that Christian school, and hey, that nursery, and hey, going soul winning may look like the wilderness to the world, but hey, God's out there, folks. God's waiting for us. And you know, the problem is we're sitting in the world and God wants us to separate and wants to do something with us. But here's the temptation. Hey, you men go serve God. Just leave your families here. Hey, don't make them go soul winning. Don't make them go to the nursery. Hey, don't make them go to Sunday school. Don't make them dress different. Hey, they'll stand out. That's what we're supposed to do. Well, I'm the dad, and mom and dad can do it, but we don't let the children don't have to do it. See, the devil's patient. If he can't get you, mom and dad, he'll get your children. See, he's got a compromise there. And there are some of you that, you know what, you're sitting here, you're young adults right now, and you've got some of the same ideas right here. And you know where they come from? They come from the devil. Hey, when that little baby comes, hey, the temptation's going to be, you know what, we better pull back. We're just doing a little bit too much. And I understand that, you know what, they take some care, but you know what, they need to be in church. They need to be in the nursery. You need to be in church. And you need to be serving God. Hey, you need to get out in the wilderness where everybody else is because that's where God is. See, learn to worship God to serve as a family. See, it's not just dad serving God. It's not just mom serving God. It's we're serving God together. That's how you combat Satan. And listen, Moses said, hey, we ain't leaving. We're taking them all. Hey, we're not going to stay in Egypt. We're not going to go outside the city limits. And listen, we're keeping the kids and mama with us. We're taking everybody out. And that's the way it ought to be. Hey, if salvation said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy what? House. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. We're going together. Hey, make up your mind, mom and dad, that hey, the kids are coming. You say, well, man, what if they don't want to? Well, then just command them to. Read them the Bible. Hey, tell them this is God's Word. Explain to them that this is what God wants us to do. Don't just say, bless God, we're going to do this because. Explain to them this is what God wants us to do. And then command them to do it. And command them to obey. They're crying. Well, push them in the nursery anyway. You know how long that crying lasts? You mamas, it's just like it's ripping your heart out. That it lasts about 3 seconds until they see the first toy. And then you know what? They're tooling around in there. Now for some it's not that way, but for most of them it is. But hey, let's take God. Then number four and lastly, we'll be through. Exodus chapter 10, verse 24. Here's what it says, and Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye and serve the Lord. Let only your flocks and your herds stay, and let your little ones also go. He said, hey, go ahead, take your children, but listen, leave your money. Hey, that preacher, all he wants is your money anyway. Hey, just leave it in your pocket. Just leave it in the bank. Hey, go worship God, but don't take your money. Hey, let your flocks and your herds stay with us. Serve God, but keep your money. Hey, the preacher's just after your money anyway. Now, let me ask you a question. If you leave the money in the bank and you save all that money for your retirement and you've got all these great plans and, hey, you're fiscally, hey, the world looks at you and you've got all of this and you've got this taken care of and you've got all your T's crossed. Hey, if Jesus comes tonight, you know where all that money's going to go? To the devil. To the devil. Let me ask you something. When they went out there, what were they going to sacrifice with? If they didn't take their herds with them, how were they going to sacrifice? How were they going to worship God? How were they going to put something on the altar if they didn't have anything to put on the altar? See, the devil knows that. See, you think, well, he does make sense. No, he doesn't. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not trying to be your friend. He's not trying to say, hey, this is what you need to do. Listen, we need, you know what? Our money needs to be in the Lord's work. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that you got to take care of your bills. You got to be responsible. But listen, the world, here's what's going to happen. Hey, the world's dying and going to hell. We need money to send missionaries around the world and support missions. And here's what we're doing. We're hoarding it here at home. Because we don't have enough faith, because we believe that, you know what, when we turn 60, we're going to starve to death. You know what you're saying? You're saying God can't take care of you when you're 60 or 65 or 70. Now, I'm not telling you not to be frugal, but listen, I'm telling you this. You hoard a bunch of money and you put it in the bank and it sits there and it sits there and Jesus comes, the one that's going to get it's the devil. And listen, you can't come to church and say you've worshiped God if you haven't given anything. Part of the worship service is singing and giving. Giving. See, your money shows where your heart is. I'll say that again. Your money shows where your heart is. Now, if we were to take your checkbook and go through your finances and see what you spend your money on and what percentage your money is spent on, we'd find out where your heart is. We'd find out where... Hey, listen. The world spends more money on dog food than it does missions. The world. Egypt. Egypt thinks more of their animals than they do the lost souls of men. See, your checkbook, your money's where your heart is. The devil doesn't want you to have a heart for God. He wants you to leave the cattle, leave the herds, leave your tithes and offerings. See, he wants you to save. Well, I got to save. Hey, the Bible says if you save your life, you'll lose it. And if you'll lose your life, you'll save it. Now, let me say something here. God's not going to look on how much you gave. It's how much you got left. You say, what about that little widow woman? It's not that, hey, listen, I gave $10,000. How much you got left? That's what God's looking at. That's where sacrifice is in the Bible as far as money's concerned. But listen, you know what the devil wants? He wants us, go worship God. Take your kids. Hey, get out of Egypt. Do what God... But listen, just don't take your money with you. And some of you are thinking right now it's just a money sermon. No, 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 no. Where your treasure is where your heart is. And listen, if you don't systematically give to this church and the program of reaching people with the gospel and building buildings here and supporting missionaries going out from here, then there's something wrong with your heart. And if you were to go and take your checkbook tonight and find out where you spend everything, you'd find out you probably spend a good bit of it on you and stuff that is not going to make a hill of beans. And one day, you know what? We're all going to wish we had more faith when it came to our money. And spending our money's our life. It represents our life. And listen, there are things that, you know what, God wants to do at Trinity Baptist Church, but the devil's saying this. Listen, you better make sure you got a little bit laid up for tomorrow. You better make sure that... See, if God said He'd take care of the sparrows, He said He'd take care of us. He said He'd give us the strength. But see, the world, with insurance companies and all this retirement plans, they want to scare you into thinking, you know what, when you turn 65, it's all over. You don't got to quit serving God when you're 65 or 70 or 75. Trust God with your finances. Listen, that's the compromise. What is that? That's a compromise. He just said, listen, go do this, but do this. Hey, listen, go worship God, but hey, stay, do it right here in the land. Hey, go worship God, but just stay close. Hey, go worship God, but leave your family. Your wife and your kids. Hey, go worship God, but take everybody with you, leave, but don't take the herds. Don't take your money with you. Now I'm going to conclude with this and I'm done. When you get ready to sell out, when you get ready, when God starts dealing with your heart after you get saved, see, salvation's a wonderful thing. But it's just a step. And it's a step God does for you. And God bursts you into the family of God. But then He wants us to start doing something. You start itching to do something for Him because you love Him. And you start thinking, man, I want to serve God. Man, I want to do something for God. But you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to separate. If you're going to sell out and God's going to do something with your life, you're going to have to get out of Egypt. You're going to have to get out of the world. You're going to have to see that the devil wants to make a deal with you and with me. And here's what he wants to do. He wants us to stay in the world. He wants us to stay close. He wants us to leave our families. Now listen to some of you guys that you're rabid about the ministry and your families are going to hell in a handbasket. You better listen to point number three. And some of you Bible college fellas, you lose your family, you lose your ministry. And see that, but see, that's not just something that we're just saying. That's something the devil is whispering to us. Just leave your family. It's too tough. Man, reading the Bible through in a year, my soul, man, how big that book is and all those big words in it and memorizing it and all this kind of stuff. It's too tough. It's too hard. It's their life, folks. If they're ever going to make it in the Christian life, they're going to have to know the Bible. And the devil doesn't want them to. Hey, leave your family. And then leave your money. Hey, you just show up to church. You go through the motions. And hey, you just pack it away in the bank. And make sure that you're taken care of. And everything's taken care of. And hey, we'll you put it in our banks. You put it in our CDs. And you put it in our IRA. You take care of all that. And you make sure that all that's done. But you got nothing for God. Now don't twist my words here. You got to take care of your family, fellas. But listen, God needs something too. God expects the tithe and He expects an offering. And if God's people would tithe and give a love offering because they love Jesus Christ, we'd never have to ask for money. We'd never have to. Listen, you wouldn't need anything. Compromise is sin. Hey, when you neglect your duties as a parent to spiritually raise, you know what you're doing? You're compromising with the devil. Hey, when you decide you're not going to tithe and give your offering because you got a little bit put out at the preacher or staff member, hey, you know what you do? You're compromising with Satan. Hey, when you don't want to give up your worldly dress and the styles of the world and you don't want to give up your TV programs and all of that kind of junk, hey, you know what you do? You're compromising with Satan. See, you think you've made a deal with God, but you've actually made a deal with the devil. See, because God doesn't compromise. The God that I read about in the Bible does not compromise. He won't. He won't compromise for you. He won't compromise for me. He won't compromise for anybody. We serve a God that, you know what I said at the first of the sermon? He does what He says He's going to do. That's the nature of God. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And the devil is doing everything he can to keep us out of God's Word and out of God's will so that we'll compromise. And these compromises are real. And they're here. And they're being... Listen, some of you right now, you know what the God's telling you? You're worldly. The world's in my house. Hey, you know what? My children are worldly. Hey, they're in the world. I've left them somewhere. Hey, if God's doing anything, that's what He's saying. He's saying, listen, I'm hoarding my money. I'm using it. I'm not giving God what's His. Now listen, you straighten these four areas out and you'll get the blessings of God on your life. And God will take care of you. Where? In the wilderness. See, we're not living in heaven, folks. That's what some of us are trying to think. Hey, we're living in heaven. We got our little mansions. We got all our fancy cars and all. See, we're trying to make a little bit of heaven out of. This is not heaven. This is the wilderness. And listen, the further you go into the world, the further you get away from God. God's out in the wilderness and wants to meet with us and do something with the membership of Trinity Baptist Church. Wants to do something with the children of Trinity Baptist Church and the adults of Trinity Baptist Church. He wants to do something with the finances that are represented here in Trinity Baptist Church. But He's not going to do any of it while we're in the world. He's going to do it when we decide to separate and go out into the wilderness. And the world's going to think we're crazy for going out there. There's nothing out there. There's no cities out there. There's no plumbing out there. There's no running. There's nothing except what God's going to provide for us. That's how God wants us to live. That's an uncompromising Christian life. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. I pray that you bless it to the hearts of your people.